make sure they're actually doing what they're supposed to do. I often think about old Dr. Gene Scott, how he used to give Hail Columbia to all his crew that was taping and recording him all the time. And if I want to give anybody a hard time, I got to give myself a hard time. I did it. One time I had somebody else record it for you, Brother David, over there at that little town and country Baptist church, and he just pushed play instead of record. And then you know what he told me? I said, look at there now, what you did wrong. He said, you didn't train me right. And I it still came right back home. That's my fault anyway. Well, let's look at 1 John. We're moving along a little more quickly now than what we were before. We're going to get a little bit more Greek tonight, but we're going to get a whole lot more Bible. All right. Kai?
Which verse?
1 and 5. 1 John 1 and 5. Mm-hmm. You can read my writing a little better. Now, in this book, can't you?
Yes.
All right. Now, you know what? I can't read my writing as well in this book. It's too many years ago. And especially the Greek. I was not... Now, the Greek may look real good to you. Now, I had to replace this verse, so I wrote this later. But I don't know how much later, but that's... that. I could write a little better in Greek in this than I could in the earlier. You can't see it, but some of it is in blue and some of it is in red. The red I had to rewrite. Somebody had... it either was stolen or whatever. I had to rewrite some of the commentary in Linear that I did in the New Testament. And this part of this book is. I did have to rewrite. So part of it was lost or something. Anyway, Kai. Esten. Alte. Hey. Angalia. Hain. Akuomen. Up. Altu, Kai, Anna Galoman, Himen, Hote, Ho, Theos, Phos, Esten, Kai, Skotia, An, Alto, Uk, Esten, Udamia. All right. Here we are. We've got a beautiful verse from the Bible. That and I want you to understand this. John is repeating himself over and over and over again. Why is he doing that?
To impress it.
Huh? He wants us to catch it. Now, there are things that I tell you that are very important to remember. John 1:14, John 1:18, John 1:1, and I drive these home, don't I? Why? Because they are the axle of the whole Bible. And here, it seems like John, this little 1 John, every doctrine of the Bible is in 1 John. Every doctrine is there. And he's just re-emphasizing. And we already have the Gospel according to John. We have 2 John. We have 3 John. And then we have the Apocalypse. Well, I better say it in English. The Book of Revelation. All right? The Book of Revelation. We have these books, but so much emphasis is put on who God is, because that's the most important thing. If you're religious, what does the word religious mean?
Bondage.
What is it, Marilyn? The act of binding back again. Religious. Or religion. Okay, let's put religion up here. All right. And then religious. Also, because we need to look at that too. Religion means the act of, I-O-N, the act of, and then R is a prefix on Greek, this is a suffix, and then we have a root word. They probably taught you this in school a long time ago. Okay? The act of binding, lige, alright, our word ligament comes from that, it's right out of Greek. This comes out of here, and then re on the front means back again. The act of binding back again. So in other words, man slipped away from God, and religion is the act of binding him back to God again. Now, religious means, I-O-U-S,
All right? Here's another word.
Ambitious. What's the word ambitious mean?
Getting with it.
Getting with it, huh? All right, let's look at it. Ambi comes from ambere in Latin. Ambere means going around. Around. In circles, basically. Going around in circles. That's where that word comes from, ambere. Then I-O-U-S means what on the end, or O-U-S? Somebody's ambitious or bounding around and going around in circles. In other words, they're a big wheel rolling around in circles. Just going in circles. A dog chasing its tail. It's very ambitious, literally. Okay? Now let's go back to religious. And religious means abounding in trying to be brought back or binding yourself back to God. But in some religions, you can bind yourself away from God, can't you? Well,
bind yourself to the devil.
That's right. Now, you can be religious, but you need to have the right God, don't you? Well, you need to have the right God. If you're binding yourself back to God, let's make sure you bind yourself back to the right God. Now, who is God? Who is God? The Mormons have a God.
Creator of the universe.
The creator of the universe. All right. Let's look at the Mormons' God for just a minute. We're talking about the person of God in 1 John. What about the Mormons' God? What kind of a God do they have?
Oh, he lives in some planet way off somewhere with a bunch of women.
But who? Yeah, that's right. But who is God according to Mormonism? Huh?
Michael. No. Adam, I guess. Yeah.
Adam was God. As far as they're concerned, he's the first God, was Adam. And God, every time that there's a child born on this earth, God is cohabiting with one of his wives in the spiritual realm. So Adam is real busy. Now, all of the men on the earth are little gods. God's an embryo. Mm-hmm. If you get your right, if you're thinking straight. All right? Then one day, if you're a Mormon, you realize that I'm a God in embryo. Yeah. I'm a God in embryo. Well, boy, it's a great. I'm a God in embryo.
It's a trap.
Huh?
It's a trap.
What happened in the book of Genesis.
Right.
How did Satan tempt man? You'll be gods.
As God said.
You'll be gods. You'll be like God. You'll be gods. Now, according to Mormonism, God is an exalted man. And God has progenated what we call He's brought forth all of these spiritual children. Now, only the men can be saved. I want you to know that in Mormonism. Women don't have a dog's chance. They are just cattle.
Yeah, the husband has to
husband, if the woman's good in this life and he likes her a whole lot, then he will resurrect her. He'll call forth her name when she's married in a temple. Then if he liked her in this life and she's pleased him here, then he will remove her veil and call her by her given name in the temple. Now, is that the God of the Bible?
Paganism.
That is pure paganism, people. Yeah. Pure paganism. All right, that's not. How about the God of the Muslims? What's wrong with that God, Allah?
He's a man.
No.
Just a man, isn't he? He's not a real guy.
No. Mohammed was a man.
Oh, Mohammed. Okay.
Allah. Allah comes from the same Hebrew word. Hebrew and Aramaic are really Arabic are very ale. Or Allah, all right? There's El, that's the root form of God in Hebrew, and it's Allah in Arabic. All right? Now, what is their idea of God?
Well, there's something about a stone that fell down from heaven, and they go and kiss that sucker, and
well,
but something to do with Allah, and it, they had a lot of gods, but they eliminated the rest of them, and Allah's the only one.
They have a lot of, now they pray to saints also, believe it or not. Now they only believe in one God. They don't believe in the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit and all that business. They believe in Allah only. But Allah is far removed from mankind. He never touches man. And every man that's born into this world is responsible for his own sin. There is no such thing as Adamic sin. And your good deeds have to outweigh your bad deeds to get to heaven. Now that's that about as humanistic as it can be. Isn't that the way most humans want to get to heaven? If you ask somebody on the street, are you going to heaven? And they say, well, I don't know, maybe.
Yeah.
Well, why will you go to heaven if you get to heaven? Well, because I've been a pretty good guy. Isn't that right?
Even
Brother
Catholic,
Fernando?
Even Catholics.
That's right.
Yeah, works.
Works. Their good works are going to outweigh their bad works. But what's wrong with their idea of God?
They bring him down to our level.
No. He's far away, brother.
That's what he's far away.
That he's far, far away. We have to work ourselves to him. Now the God of the Bible. Elohim of the Bible. The Jehovah Elohim of the Bible. Now, modern day, let's look at some of the modern day religions of the world today. What do your hyper-Armenians believe?
Well, you can lose it in their game.
You can get it and lose it, get it, lose it.
How you hit it.
Because you've got your good works have got to outweigh your bad works. Still, isn't that right? In all reality? It's all works.
Yeah, if you don't keep the faith, you can lose it.
That's right. Okay. Now, salvation has nothing to do with that. Now, how about our Jehovah Witness brethren? What's wrong with their God?
Recognize Jesus as very God. That's the basic one.
They got God way out there.
Anything that's well talking.
And you've got to work your way to God. Now that God is not the God of the Bible, is it? God is not a God that's way out there. What kind of God do we have? A God that came down and became related to us and this earth to redeem all of it back to Himself. He is a God of close contact. He is a God that we could see at one time. We could see Him walk on this earth in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. We can see Him. We can see how God so loved His creation that He came down to redeem it. And we can know Him.
Now,
all right?
For Trinitarian, that is Jesus.
All right. Just a minute. Let me get going here. You'll get me off base here, and then I won't be able to get where I'm going.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Okay. Now, I'm going to repeat this again. God has revealed Himself in nature, His creation, hasn't He? According to Romans, the first chapter. Now, God has revealed Himself in His Word, or the Bible, hasn't He? And then God has revealed Himself in person. The person of Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ is God. Plain. Simple. That's it. He is God. John 8 and verse 58. Let's go look there for just a moment. John 8 and verse 58.
Boom, John.
Kata Iwane, 8 and 58. John 8 and verse 58. Let's see what in the world's going on there.
Okay. 8:58?
Yeah.
Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am.
All right. Before Abraham was, I am. Now, who's Jesus talking to?
He's talking to the Jews here.
He's talking to the whole Sanhedrin court. He's talking to the Pharisees. He's talking to the scribes. He's talking to representatives of the high priest, just like he did in John, the third chapter. Nicodemus was not on his own when he came to Jesus by night. He was a whole representative of the ruling bunch of Israel. All right? Now, here they are again, questioning Jesus again. And he told them that before Abraham, he was. All right? John 8 and 50. Let's go back up just a little bit. Jesus answered and said, If I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father that honors me, of whom ye say that he is your God. God is a very important subject in the Bible, isn't it? God is a real important subject in the Bible. So we've got to figure out who God is, don't we? Yet ye have not known him, but I know him. And if I say that I don't know him, I should be a liar like you all. He calls them liars. All right?
He must have made them mad.
They were real mad, brother. Let's see what they wanted to do here. All right? Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day. And that was in Genesis 22 and verse 14, remember? When he saw him, Jehovah Jireh means what? Jehovah was seen. Or will see to it. Either way. Jireh means to see. Or to see to it. He said, Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day. And he saw it and was glad. Was very happy. All right. Verse number 57. And then the Jews caught up in speech with him. Is what literally says. And the Jews answered him and said, You're not yet 50 years old and you say that you saw Abraham? And you were seen by Abraham? In verse 58, now Brother Wally, read that one again. Now it means a whole more to us. We're going to figure out who God is.
Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was.
Jesus quoted the Old Testament. He quoted the Septuagint, is what he did. Exodus 3:14 is what he quoted. And Jesus said unto them, Truly, truly, amen, amen, I say to you all, before Abraham became, that's what it literally says, before Abraham became, came into existence, ego eimi, Exodus 3:14. Someone to go back to Exodus 3:14. We're studying about the nature of God in 1 John. All right, we got Exodus 3:14. Exodus means the way out, the road out. That's when God took Israel out of Egypt. Have you got that, brother? Exodus 3:14. No. Who's got Exodus 3:14?
He says, "I am." Isn't that more
ego eimi
than I was?
Yeah, I am ego eimi. Yeah.
3:14.
Yes.
And God said unto Moses, "I am that I am," and he said, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you.
Jesus goes back to a very common translation of the Old Testament, the book of Exodus 3:14, and he quotes from the Greek Septuagint, and he says, Ego eimi. And what do you think that he meant, Brother Wally?
Ego eimi? Well,
he said, you tell...
Just what I got.
Say it again. Say it again now. When you go to Israel, tell them what?
Ego eimi
has sent you.
That means I am.
I am has sent you. And you tell them that I am. I am the Eternal One. That's what he said. I am the Eternal One. Now let's see in John 8 and verse 59 if they understood Jesus. Alright? Let's see if they understood Jesus. What he said thoroughly. Let's see if they understood the words of the Master of the Universe. Let's see what they thought. Brother Wallach.
Yeah, yeah. You want to read 59?
59, yes, sir, brother.
Then took they up stones to cast at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by.
Why did they take up stones to stone him?
Well, they thought it was blasphemy.
They said that you say you're God. Now, was Jesus God?
Sure.
Yes, he was. Our God had visited us. God has revealed himself to us in his creation, in his word. Exodus 3:14. That tells us who God is. He told Israel who God is. Who was Jesus talking to right then? Were these the representatives of Israel? Go back and read Exodus 3:14 again. We don't want any misunderstandings here. Exodus 3:14. Who's got it?
Already.
And we're going to look at it one more time. We're not finished with Exodus 3:14. All right, brother.
Can we read it?
Brother David, yeah.
God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, Thus
you shall say to the sons of Israel, I am, has sent me to you.
Or say to the sons of Israel, I am, has sent you, me, or you to me. Alright? Now, we know who that was.
Okay. To look at the opposite side, if Jesus was not God, but was an imposter, maybe they were right in...
If Jesus was not God, they were totally right. But did Israel understand who Jesus says he was?
Well, apparently not.
Nope.
And I wonder if the...
Well, wait a minute. Did Israel understand who Jesus said he was?
Yeah.
Jesus said he was God. Did they misunderstand him? He said he was God, didn't he?
But they didn't believe it.
They didn't believe it. There are a lot of people, Jehovah's Witnesses don't believe that today. No. They'll take this thing and just twist it all up trying to get rid of it.
I've never asked them whether they agreed with the Pharisees.
They do.
Why do you think they're judged different?
What?
How come you think they're judged different?
Well, what are you talking about now?
Like, you know, God says He'll judge the Israelis different than everyone else in the world. Why do you suppose He'd do that?
Did I say that?
No, you didn't.
No. Well, the Jews are God's nation. The only nation that God has ever had in history is the Jewish Israel. All right? God has a place for them in the last days. And He is never going to turn loose of them because the covenant that He made with Abraham right back over here, the promise, that promise was unconditional. And that promise ran with the nation of Israel. They were to be dispersed, Ezekiel 36:16-19, but He would regather them and He would deal with them again. Why is the what is the purpose of the tribulation period? To bring Israel back to God, the nation Israel. Individuals in the church age that we live in today, God deals with all of us the same way. But if you're a Jew and living in the church age, even if you get saved, you're still part of national Israel. All right? And that those people, once you get saved as you're a Jew, guess what happens? If I was a Jew, I'd want to be saved because I got to leave right here. Zip! At the rapture, the rest of those Jewish boys that don't believe are going to be brought to believe. And a whole bunch of them is going to get killed.
It's not
what?
Abraham believed in God, though, without actually ever meeting.
He met Jesus. He saw Jesus. That's what we just discovered. Right there. John 8 and verse 58. Yes, Abraham did see Jesus. He was on the mountain. In the mount, he saw Him. Yes, he saw Him. He saw me and was glad when I was there. Because what happened? Why was he glad? You remember Brother Fernando? He was going to kill his own son. And God showed up and said, don't do it. And what did He do? He provided a lamb. Who did that lamb represent? The person of Jesus Christ. All those sacrifices in the Old Testament represented Jesus Christ. Every one of them. And it is this. The message. That's the message I'm talking about tonight, people. Angelia. Now look at that word. Alpha, Gamma, Gamma, Epsilon, Lima, Iota, Alpha. Angelia. That's just like angel, isn't it? Angelos. Angelia is the message. I'm telling you the message. What is the message? What is the gospel? Somebody tell me where I can find out what the gospel is in the Bible. Now, don't you give me any baloney. I don't want any baloney. I want to know where the gospel is in the Bible. If there's such a thing, I want to know what the gospel is. The Bible says that God preached the gospel unto Abraham, but what is the gospel? Where would you go in the New Testament to find what the gospel is?
The good news that He died for our sins.
But where in the Bible would you go? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John tells you about it. But where is the gospel delineated and just drawn out in a few words? 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 1. We're going to find out what the gospel is. All right, 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 1. Right here, you cross-reference that with this verse right here. Because we've got to find out what the message is. And this is the message which we have heard from Him. Him. Who's Him? Jesus. Jehovah in the flesh. And we announce to you all. You got that, Randy? 1 Corinthians 15?
Now I make known to you, brethren, the gospel which I preach to you, which also you receive, in which also you stand.
All right. Jump on down there a little bit.
By which also you are saved, if you hold fast the word which I preached to you, unless you believe in vain.
Some of them went back into Judaism, didn't they? They didn't really make a salvation belief in Christ. They went right back into their ordinances. Okay, now go on. He tells us what the gospel is.
For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures, and that He appeared to Cephas, then to the 12.
And to over 500 brethren. All right. Now, what kind of a statement does this make? This is our God that we're talking about. What is the gospel message? What is the name? We have people who call themselves Jehovah Witnesses. But what does the name Jehovah mean? He who shall become. John 1:14 is the fulfillment of the Jehovah title. Kaihologos sarxagenito. And the Word, or the Jehovah flesh, He became. And He dwelt among us, and we saw all the glory of the only begotten from the Father. He said that He walked among us and pitched His tent in human flesh. That's what God said there in John 1:14. Now, is John 1:14 inspired? Yes, it is. It's inspired of God. Now, one thing about the Muslims, they're at least consistent. They say none of John's writings are inspired at all. They don't believe any of John's writings because they say that the Gospel of John and 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John and the book of Revelation all say that Jesus is God. Are they right?
Yeah, they're right.
So they said, chop them out of the Bible and throw them away because that's not inspired. Now, we believe that those Scriptures are inspired, don't we? Because also Ephesians tells the same thing. Colossians tells us the same thing. Who is the creator of the heavens and the earth according to the book of Colossians, the first chapter? Jesus. By Him, through Him, and for Him were all things created. That are created, that are seen and unseen. All the spiritual forces, all the angels, all the spirits, all of the material created universe was done by and through Jesus Christ. It says from Hebrew that He beat it out into existence. Now we have heard from Him this message. What is the message? It's the gospel. Write down in your little notes there, 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 5. All right? That is the gospel. The gospel is that Jesus Christ came into this world. And who is Jesus Christos? Jesus means what?
Salvation.
Jesus means what? What?
Savior.
What does Jesus mean? Jesus. What does it mean? Yahshua. What does it mean? No. Who is Yahshua? What does the name Yahshua mean? Or Jesus? Jehovah saves. Write it down. This needs to be indelibly put in your little cranium up there. Jehovah means, that is, He who shall become, and the name Jesus means Jehovah saves. Now, what does Hamashiach mean, or Christos, or Messiah?
Christos, the anointed one.
All right, Hamashiach, the Messiah. All right, Yahshua Hamashiach. What does that mean? Joshua, the Messiah. It's the same thing as Jesus Christos. Jesus, the Messiah. He is the Messiah. He is the Anointed One. He is God in flesh. All right? And we announce to ye, in order that, the God, light, He is. God, light is. John 3 and 19 through 21. Let's go to John, the third chapter. Very familiar place in your Bible. You ought to be able to fall right. Your Bible, when it falls down, ought to open up there. John, the third chapter.
Which verse?
Kadewane. Three verses, 19 through 21. You can probably memorize. You've got it memorized, brother.
And Nicodemus said, can a man be born?
Yeah, no, 19 verse.
Oh,
19. John 3:19.
When the wind bloweth where it listeth, thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh.
Yeah, that's on up a little further.
And so is every then is born of the Spirit.
Okay, that's on up to. You have to come on down a little further.
And then, 19.
What are you? Yeah, 19, brother.
And this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and the men love the darkness rather than the light.
All right, now we're talking about Jesus said, I came into the world, but the world rather loved darkness rather than light. All right? That's the same darkness that we're talking about right here. What is the darkness?
Evil?
No. It's religion. What was keeping Israel from God?
Pagan religion.
The pagan religion that they had. The Judaism was keeping them from coming from God. Why didn't these Pharisees and scribes and the Sadducees and the high priests, why didn't they believe? Because they were bound away from God.
Their works. Just like the Jehovah's Witnesses or just like the Mormons.
That's right. The Mormons, they got the wrong God. Jehovah's Witnesses got the wrong God. But their religions are binding them away from God, and the Judaism was binding them away from God. Why weren't they saved? They're in 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter. If you believed in vain, in vanity, they believed in the vanity of this religion. You've got to have the right God to get to heaven. If you don't have the right God, you're not going to get there. Simple as that. You've got to have the right God. All right, 19 through 21.
There was this rich young man who came to him and says, how much am I saved? Apparently he was a Pharisee.
He was a lawyer, which was he was a Pharisee, yes.
And he says, all these things I have kept. And then he told him to do one thing and sell his stuff and give it to the poor. And they walked away sadly. Now, you've got to admire the guy. I don't think I could even qualify as good as he.
Well, wait just a minute. Let's go back to him. He was a rich young ruler. He was one of the people that in John the third chapter that Nicodemus was representing. He was one of the rulers.
Yeah, and he was on the.
And he was a lawyer. He was in all of the little cities areas had synagogues. And if you had some kind of a legal problem, you went to the synagogue, and one of the lawyers, one of the Pharisees, represented you, or whatever. They represented different people, and these lawyers would interpret the law of God. Now, this is one of the interpreters of the law of God comes to Jesus. Nicodemus did it in the third chapter. Now, he says, this rich young lawyer, a ruler of the Jews, came to Jesus. And he asked him, Master Teacher, Dr. Jesus, he recognized his great learning skills, but not the person. He was Jesus. He was Jehovah in the flesh. He didn't talk to him as Jehovah in the flesh. He talked to him as Dr. Jesus. Dr. Jesus, what must I do to gain eternal life?
He recognized
his problem. What was keeping him from going to heaven? There are people in the world today that their riches are keeping them from coming to God. Did you know that?
Yes.
That man right there, that was his problem, Brother Wally. His money was his problem. Now, he was already a religious leader. He was a preacher, wasn't he? But did he know God? No. What was keeping him from knowing God right then? He didn't believe in communism. He was a capitalist. And what did Jesus tell him to do? I want you to become a Democrat. Go out there and give all you got away and give to the poor. And they come and follow me. That's a joke, people. But that's really what he said in all reality. I want you to become a communist now. You've been a capitalist all this time. You people are in control. You got all the money. You got everything sewed up. Give everything you got away and become a communist. What happened with the first church? There in Jerusalem, they gave everything they had away and sold it, and they lived and they supported each other. I think they went a little bit too far, but But you know, communism has never worked.
No, because they want to take your money and give it away.
That's right. Somebody always gets in control. The only place that ever worked in history is among American Indians. They lived in common. Every village was a family, and that whole family lived everything they had. They gathered it together. They lived in a communal system. It worked there. But there was no greed there, okay? Because it was all family. But this man here, that was what was keeping him from coming to God, was his money.
Did you practice communism, you think, live in a communist country? And
not in your Adamic state.
And be a Christian?
Well, of course you could.
Be communist and Christian,
you think? I imagine you could. You don't have to be some... You could be a communist. I mean, you could be a Christian and be a Democrat. Or a Republican. Or American independent. You could be anything. I mean, it has nothing to do with what you are. All right.
You don't ever put those together, though. You don't ever think about a Christian communist. You ever think about something like that?
Well, the first church in Jerusalem was. That's fact. All right. We announce to you all, it is, he is, and darkness in him not, it is. Not at all. Udamia. Not one little bit. Moreover, not one bit of darkness is in God. Now, in Genesis 1 and 2, let's see the suffering God over His creation that became darkness. Oh, I forgot to bring a tape and play tonight, brother. I was going to bring that tape for you tonight. Marilyn, would you tell him what that tape said about the word Hayah, the Hebrew teacher? Basic Hebrew. What did he say about the term Hayah? It meant to be or to become.
Oh.
All right, that's what it was. I was going to play it to you. I had it on there. I said, I need to play this to the class. To become, that's what it means, to be or become. All right. Genesis 1 and verse 2. That's a beautiful verse. Brother Randy. Genesis, well, you can quote it. You can probably quote it in Hebrew. Well, that doesn't matter. Just whatever. In Hebrew it says we ha'aretz haya tohu wabuhu, and then what else? Alright. And the earth she became formless and void, and then it says darkness was over the faces of the deep.
Something like tohu and tohu
wabuhu.
Yeah.
Wa is and. Alright. Wa, we ha'aretz. We is and. And we ha'aretz, and the ha'aretz is earth. And the earth she became, ha'yah. She became formless and void. What does it say? You're reading Hebrew, aren't you? You're reading from the back of the book.
I'm trying.
All right.
Not getting very far.
Okay. And then it says, darkness was over the pene, el pene, the faces of the deep, of the waters, mayim. All right? Hamayim. I brought my Hebrew too. All right. Except I can't read it without my spectacles. Too small of letters. And the earth. She became tohu wabuhu and darkness.
Yeah.
All right, darkness upon the faces of the deep. And then it says, we ruah, the spirit of Elohim, he was brooding. He was suffering.
That's the same as moving.
Yeah, moving, suffering. It means to brood, to worry. The word worry, it means to anguish.
Now,
all right.
What does it say? Faces in mind. Mine says over the surface of the deep, and that one says over the faces.
Uh huh. The faces. Pene. Pene means what, brother Bramble? Pene, faces. All right. Pene. Ael pene, upon the faces
of the deep,
of the ha-mayim, the waters.
Waters.
All right, the waters. Okay, and then it says here that Then said God, let light become, and light became. Now darkness was over the faces of the deep. It became dark. Now God doesn't create darkness, and He isn't darkness. Okay? Jude 6. That's a very important verse, Jude 6. Who's got Jude? Judah. Judah is the name of that book, the book of Judah. Judah. That was Jesus' half-brother that wrote this book. He was from Mary and Joseph. This boy that wrote this book had, well, Joseph was his father and Mary was his mother. All right, the book of James was written by Jesus' half-brother. Mary was his mother and Joseph was his father, the book of James. And that's Jacobu. James is the same word as Jacob in the Old Testament. Jude 6. These are the words of Jesus. Jesus' half-brother. All right? And he's written down. Are you there, brother?
Yeah, sure. And the angel who kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains unto darkness, unto the judgment of the great day.
All right, let's look at this. Here, this is it's quite something else in Greek. Jude 6. Angels. It says, and angels, the ones having not having kept of themselves the authority, the rulership, the place of service, the administration. That's what that word means there, arcane. But, strong adversative conjunction, but having deserted, having walked off and left their places of habitation unto judgment, great. Unto Crisane Megales, unto judgment great, the great judgment day, in Desmeois, that means bonds and chains. Change, it says, everlasting, idios. Idios. Down under hepo, sophon. Sophon, that word, darkness, gloom. Each one of them is kept. All right? Each one of them is kept in these places of darkness. 2 Peter 2 and 4 and 2 and 9. 2 Peter. Hebrews, James, and 1 and 2 Peter. Let's look at Peter.
2 Peter, 1 Peter.
Second Peter, the second chapter. Matter of fact, I did this on some of you here in 1 and 2 Peter when I translated it. 2 and verse 4. I've got all that on tape and CD if you want.
It says more or less the same thing, doesn't it?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. 2, 3, and 4.
Referring to the same incident.
All right. For the God, angels having sinned, or sinning, or having sinned, is what it says, not he spared, but in pits. This word is seroes. In pits. This is the bottomless pit. What is the bottomless pit? Have they got anything out there, those bottomless pits out in space that they found here recently?
Well, yeah,
what do they call
dark,
those things?
Dark holes.
Black holes.
Black holes.
All right, black holes of gloom. Tartarus. 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 This is where Tartarus comes from. This bottomless pit. Tartarus. Delivered them over unto judgment, under guard, under constant guard. All right, now, 2 Peter 2 and 9. Let's go on down to verse 9. Knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment and to be punished. In other words, God knows how to take care of all things. He's going to put the ungodly, the godless ones, in file 13, which is hell. They're going to be shackled in hell forever. Yeah, they're going to be shackled in hell forever. But the good are going to be reserved unto eternal life. Well, let's go on a little bit further. 1 Timothy 6:16. Let's look at that one, and James 1:17. 1 Timothy 6:16. These are cross references. Are you enjoying this class tonight? This is a real good stuff.
1 Timothy?
Yeah, 1 Timothy 6:16. I don't know whether I've got that in my Bible or not. Yeah, it's still there.
Read it.
All right, yes, brother. It's talking about light.
Who only hath immortality, dwelling in the light, which no man can approach unto, whom no man hath seen, nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen.
All right. It's talking about the light. The only way you can approach the light is by the light. Did you know that? You can't get to the light without seeing the light. You got to be led by light. And in God there is no darkness, for He is light. It says, because of God, light He is. And darkness in Him, no, not it is. Not at all. He's just saying, not. No, no, no. There is no darkness in God. All right. And in James 1:17, right after the book of Hebrews, James 1:17, we even taught all that book, didn't we?
Yeah.
This is a very good verse. We've only gone through one verse tonight so far. Brother Randy?
Every good thing given and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights.
The Father of lights. The Father of light. All right. The Father of light. Of the lighted ones. The Father of the lighted ones. Isn't that beautiful? The children of light. The Father of the lighted ones, you can say. Of the lighted ones. The ones that are lit up. Brother Wallace.
Hebrews. The brightness of His glory, and there is no shadow of turning.
That's right. There is no shadow is what?
No shadow.
A shadow is what?
A shadow
is darkness, isn't it?
Yeah.
A shadow is darkness. Now, in Him is no shadow. No darkness whatsoever.
He is the express image of His person.
Mm-hmm.
That's where the rascal is going to work.
All right. These are beautiful verses, aren't they? I think that'll do for now. John 1:14, John 1:18. We talked about that just a little bit. Now, John repeats that God is light, and in Him is no darkness. All right, there is no lie in God, is there? God cannot lie. God cannot tell an untruth. All right, 1 John 1:6. Eon. Eon?
Eon.
All right. Or Eon.
Apelman.
Hote.
Kononion.
Ekelman. Met. Altu. Kai. En. Toskote. Perapatomen. Pseudometha. Kai. Oop. Poyoman. Tain. Alathion. If we may say that fellowship, koinonion, that's the word common. The word koine Greek comes from this word. Koine means common, universal. If we say in communion we have with Him, that word Him there is should be a capital H-I, capital H, capital I, and capital M. Him, who is it? God. If we say we have that, we have something in common with God. We have co-ownership with God. And in the darkness, in toskote, in darkness, we, what? We walk around, peripatios. Let's go back up. If we may say, the word there, if, is a third class conditional, and it has to do with our volition. Every time God talks about us, He gives us the right to go the wrong way. But if we go the wrong way, guess what? God will hold us accountable. Now, your children, Brother Wally, if your child was going the wrong way, what is your, as a parent, what was your job?
To discipline him.
To straighten him back out and get him back in line, wasn't it? That's your job. Now, are you the man of the family?
Yes, usually he was.
Yeah, you were the father of the family?
Yeah.
You were the paterfamilia?
Yeah.
All right. You were the father of the family? And so, therefore, it was your responsibility to get that child going in the right direction, wasn't it?
And to chasten him if he needed it.
Do you think God's going to do that to us?
He does.
He does. When you're raising children, you are to those children as God. I'm telling you. A little child looks up to his parents and they see God. The way you are is their idea of God. So you have a great responsibility. I love to go and teach kindergarten in school. When Dakota went to school, I went in there every day and I helped teach kindergarten because she didn't want to be away from me. She had been hurt too bad from her natural mother. And so I had to be with her because she was so fragile. So I stayed there with them. And every one of those little kids looked up to me like I was a genius. Boy, there's God right there. I could show them how to do things. I could write letters out for them. I could show them how to do all these things. Oh, thank you, Mr. Phillips. Thank you, Mr. Phillips. And when they saw me, hi, Mr. Phillips. They looked up to you. And the first grade, the same way. I taught first grade, and boy, all of them were the same way. And the second grade, and the third grade, and the fourth grade, and the fifth grade, and the sixth grade, you were a different dummy. Something happens to the brains about that time. Something happens. But you know what? You've got 5, 6, 7, they're almost 10 years old before they get stupid. And you've got all those years to be looked upon as God. And it is your responsibility to God and to that child to be that way. Because for the rest of their life, how they respect God is how they respect you. You have a responsibility to teach your children to go the right way and to say no. Because God tells us no. It says, if we say, we may say, first person plural, present, subjunctive, active, if we may say as a habit. All right? Subjunctive mode, the mode of doubtful affirmation. The subjunctive mode has a lot to do with the volition of man. Calvinistic, brother. If this was Calvin, he'd take that subjunctive mode out of there. But he wasn't the author of the Bible. If we may say that fellowship we have, present, indicative, active, we continue to have as a habit with Him, God, and in the Scotia, we walk about as a habit, first person plural, present, subjunctive, we may walk about. See that subjunctive mode again, brother? It's got to do with your volition. First person plural, present indicative middle. We lie for ourselves, middle voice. We're doing it. Guess who is responsible when we go the wrong way? It's you. You are wrong. We need to learn that from our childhood. We need to learn what no is. And we need to learn what right and wrong is from the very beginning of our lives. And not, kai, ooh, and not, that ooh there, that is an adverb of negation. What's an adverb? It's a verb, and what is in a verb? It's action, isn't it? So this is notly, is what it means, or noly. It means something to say, no, no, no. No, we do. First person plural, present indicative active, from poio. The word poem comes from this word. What do you do with words when you make a poem? You make them rhyme. You work them out, you make them rhyme. All right? The truth. And not we do as a habit the truth. We are liars. Look at that word, pseudomatha. First person plural. We lie for ourselves. We go the wrong way for ourselves. Nobody's going to make... Which one? Pseudomatha? First person plural. Present indicative middle. We lie for ourselves. We are liars. All right. The next verse. Light and darkness cannot have fellowship. That's what we're going to study next week. Light and darkness do not coexist. Yes, brother.
Okay, I got a good question for you.
Well, it's too late now. What's your question?
Okay, it's about Mormonism. Like, I've heard different things, but is it true that the person down in their temple, supposedly, in San Diego, has to have sex with the person's wife before they marry?
No, I don't. I don't believe. I don't. Now, Joseph Smith did.
Okay, now that could be true.
Okay, right? Now Joseph Smith, he did. He took a lot of his missionaries as their wives, as his celestial wives, and he consummated that marriage. That's a fact, and that's all that is history. Okay, but no, I don't believe they do that today.
Well, how could they ever do that if you're right? I mean,
Joseph Smith was a whoremonger. That's exactly
what
he was. That was his problem. That was his problem. And that was his religion. And if you look up Mormonism and you study all the tenets of Mormonism, Joseph Smith, and he had a right-hand man, was Brigham Young, and he was the same way.
He was worse.
Women were slaves to them. And as a matter of fact, if you study Mormon history, you'll find that them old boys are sitting back there on the divan and the couch while them wives is out milking the cows and doing all that stuff. And they got a whole lot of them. They advertised all over Europe for these people to come into the celestial paradise. Guess who made the celestial paradise? Them hard-working women. And when they got a little old, a little decrepit, they just replaced them. And they did a thing on TV here a while back. Remember, Marilyn, you were watching that in there? You were watching this on public television, I believe it was, where the Mormons were petitioning. In the state of Utah and in Nevada and Arizona, there were Mormon colonies there that they practiced polygamy. And the wives liked it. They all had their little deals. Well, I'm going to turn you loose on the world. And let's have a prayer, and I'm going to dismiss you. You can think about all your questions for next week. And Brother David, I've let you off awfully light tonight, brother. Would you dismiss us in prayer?
Dear God, help us to exercise and use the knowledge we may learn tonight throughout the week to come. Let us think about it. Let our hearts be open to it.